It's Tuesday, 14th of February, and it's time to get your gaming grin on with the Game Grin Grincast. I'm your host, Ace, and joining me is Gozogoz.
Hello.
Just the two of us today, but we've got plenty to talk about because it has been the Steam Next Fest. So rather than talk about what we've been playing this past week, we're going to talk about what we've been playing this past week in the way of the Steam Next Fest. Because I could bore you about how I finished Persona 5 Strikers literally last night, but I won't. I'll just write about it and you can read it on GameGrin.com in a couple of weeks. So, Gozogoz, why don't you, one of the Steam Next Fest games you played, and tell us about it.
Well, which one?
Go alphabetically, because you say one, I'll say one, you say another one, I'll say another.
But you only played two and I played 17.
Yeah, so I'm going to go quiet for a lot of my turns.
I, like some of them, I spend more time than others. Like, I'm not sure why, just that's how it ended up. I think I spent most on the game called Ravenbound. I like the part of the reason might be because I was playing it and I noticed in the corner that it gave me a time limit.
Right.
So I was like, I have, I don't know, I think it was an hour or half an hour. So I have this much time to break the game and like I'm not gonna play a little bit and then stop and then try to remind myself I need to make full use of that hour to break the game. Nothing like against the developer or the game. It's like
it's fun to break games.
It looked like a challenge, so I took it. Okay.
A unique fantasy open world inspired by Scandinavian folklore. That's why you played it, because you like your folklore games.
I actually didn't know about that. I think I saw the trailer and like the way characters moved looked interesting. Specifically, I liked when you dodge it, like the dust behind you raises, or the dirt, or whatever. A bit like you have super strength and you don't quite know how to control it, so you dodge and you end up moving fast and everything behind you gets shredded. Something like that. That's what I thought. And I started playing it. Quickly, it turns out that it's a roguelike, so you don't really create your own character. Every run, you have three characters to pick with some traits, and you basically start from zero. The connecting thing between the characters is that you have an ability to turn into a raven, and you fly around a map, an open world map. Yeah, you can fly wherever you want, and you can turn back into a human. If you want to turn back into a raven, you need to find a specific spot to turn back into a raven, travel around again. Yeah, it seems you have like a set objectives that you need to complete. I didn't pay a lot of attention about the story.
You didn't have enough time to pay attention to the story. You had a time demo.
Yeah. So basically in the like you pick the character, one of the characters you generate, and I think the main thing that separates them is the weapon they get. And there are like enemy camps scattered across the maps. There are cities where you can pick up quests. And whenever you finish a quest or beat enemies, you can open chests or pick up actually gravestones that are lived by other players, which it isn't a multiplayer game, but I assume the gravestones are generated when players die in their own games.
I like that sort of thing in games.
So yeah, you either finish quests or open chests or pick up those gravestones and you have three cards generated, which can be various things. Like I don't know if you played Vampire Survivors type games, but the items have that kind of feel where For example, you can get a card that will give you increased damage or health steal or whatever, and you have limited number of slots to which you can assign those items. You grab one of the three cards and they're added to your hand. You don't need to play them right away. And to play them, you need mana, for which you need to do some other activities. I can't remember which ones there are, but yeah, you get cards, and to play them, you need mana. And I think all of the activities you do increase hatred, which increases your enemies' health and damage they deal. And to clear your hatred, you need to defeat a boss. So it's basically, I imagine that in the full game it will be like a bit of a conflict where you need to choose what to do, how to most efficiently increase your abilities before facing a boss. Like, you could choose to face the boss right away and just use your knowledge of the boss, like, I don't know, Dark Souls style, or you could try and pick most efficient power-ups without increasing your hatred too much and then face the boss, and then the next boss, whatever. Something like that. Yeah. It sounds really complicated, but I don't know. It seems interesting to me. I like roguelikes, and I like the idea of trying to balance whatever power-ups enemies get and whatever power-ups you get. It's difficult for me to explain the whole game. I'm not sure if I communicated well enough how it works.
Yeah, you did a fair job, I think. If anyone disagrees, our Twitter handle is @GameRune.
Please disagree with me.
I was going to talk about one of the games that one of the demos that I played, but since you started with a timed demo, I'll talk about the other one, Shadows of Doubt. This was on my wish list, and the other one was on my wish list, and clearly I'd added it a while ago, so forgotten completely about the game. Figured it's on my wish list, I'll install the demo. And then while that's downloading, I went to the Steam page and had a look, and it sounded right up my alley, because you are it's like the 1940s or whatever, you're a noir detective, and well, I say it's in the 1940s, it might be the 70s. Anyway, it is in the past, but it's kind of a cyberpunk type thing, because you got all this anachronistic technology, like fingerprint scanner and key code breakers.
Noir punk? Or Blade Runner?
Noir punk might work.
Blade Runner punk?
The demo was timed at 90 minutes, and when you load it up, you could choose whether you wanted the pre-built city or a random city. I did a run of both. It gives you one case. It's a murder case. Of course, it's noir. It's got to be murder. And someone slips a note under your door, and you go to find this person, go to their apartment, you break in, either you pick the lock or you look under the mat and find the key, and then look around the apartment, you find the body, you check him over, you scan his fingerprints so you know what he's touched and what someone else has touched, and you gather clues. One run I found a clue in the bin. And the second run, I found his diary under the bed. So it seems that the mystery doesn't take you in the same way twice, because you can choose which clues to pursue. Do you go to check out his work? Do you go to check out the diner? First time, I went to the diner. And the tutorial told me, okay, now break into the back office somehow and check the surveillance footage. I paid someone off saying, oh, I'm the health inspector, so let me back there. And then you have to look through all the surveillance footage. You know when he was there because you have the receipt which says the time. And, oh, he's with a person who looks like this. So now they're added to your case file it's really comprehensive. It's kind of like Deus Ex, but you're a noir punk detective, and also you don't have to do anything in a specific order. Like you can go to the diner, you can go to his work, you can just break into random apartments. Like, oh, here's a building, I'll go up to the 9th floor, I'll break into this apartment on the left, just because you want to. It's all voxels, and as I say, can be randomly generated, and it's really, really interesting. I played about 4 hours of it because of these two runs, and I had to reload at one point because it's randomly generated. I went to disable a camera, which you do with lockpicks apparently, and I ran out of lockpicks. But also, because I'd jumped over a cubicle in the office to get to the camera, I couldn't jump, I couldn't escape where I was. The cubicles had boxed me in against one of the windows. I tried for about 10 minutes trying to jump out or crouch out. It was a hassle, but at least my second attempt at that save, I managed to not take a wrong turn in the ventilation shafts and waste about 20 minutes. Honestly, really looking forward to this one coming out. That's Shadows of Doubt, because I believe the Steam page says that there's going to be multiple different cases, and I can only imagine it's all going to be randomly generated. It gives you a code, like the seed code, so you can say to your friends or on social media, hey, this was a really fun map. Here's the code, you try it.
I actually heard about this one. I think we might have covered it at some point in one of the events. There might have been a trailer for it. I can't remember if that's the case, but yeah.
That might be why it was on my wish list.
It seems pretty interesting. And I mean, a game that's not focused on combat and it's so complex, that's rare, and that's really interesting. And like, I'm also a sucker for noir. Like, Spider-Man Noir is my favorite Spider-Man.
Because of the comics, because I'm not a big fan of the comic version. Every other version's great.
I think it's a mix. Like, I like the look of noir in general, and having a Spider-Man story based in that time period is interesting to me, and like all the characters seem like they fit into a noir setting, that's also interesting to me. So yeah, that's definitely a big part.
Yeah, well, this game is, as well as being completely open and you can go anywhere and everywhere, there's hundreds of NPCs and they all have their own routines. And well, as I said, when you look on the CCTV, it shows people, and you could in theory just track these people down. But anyway, that's Shadows of Doubt, and you've spoken about Ravenbound. What else you got?
I played a game called Wordless, which is, actually, I'm going to look it up on Steam and see what tags it has. I would say it's mainly a Metroidvania type thing. Yeah, they call it an adventure platformer, so yes, something like that. So the title is like literal. There's no words in the game. Well, there are, but there's no dialogue, right? Like, everything is pretty much visual.
How'd you spell that?
Worldless? Oh, it's actually world, not word. I thought it was wordless.
That's what I complained.
My bad.
No worries.
I might have been playing it and thinking, oh, this is really visual and everything is like conveyed through visuals. The game must be called Wordless, not Wordless. That wouldn't make any sense, but that's what it is.
I remember this was at one of the events. I remember this one because the font that they used was really stylized, so I thought it was Wordless. Now you mention it. Anyway, tell us about the game.
So yeah, and the demo isn't very long. I think it puts you like in the middle of the game somewhere. It doesn't really have an intro, or I can't remember the intro. But yeah, you pretty much walk around and have platforming where you need to, well, you need to jump. The first thing that complicates platforming is you have those little points that you need to interact while you're near them to spawn a platform. So you'll basically jump on a platform and jump in the air towards a little light, and you need to interact with it quickly to spawn another platform. Then it gets more complicated when you learn to dash midair, and you can dash either up or left or right. So you'll be mixing the dashing and spawning new platforms. Other than platforming, your obstacles will be enemies, and this is where the game turns into a turn-based thing, basically. Uh-huh. You get a limited amount of time to use different abilities, so you hit, for example, you hit one attack to, like, string sword combos, and I think it was spacebar, so you will hit spacebar. You will be able to hit spacebar 3 times, I think, to do a combo, and then like the character will have to recover. But you will also have a magic ability, so you can, after finishing your sword combo, you can continue the combo by using a magic ability. Later you'll unlock like a charged attack with your sword, which will throw the enemy into the air, so you can then combo the enemy in the air. First of all, you'll want to like make the best use of the limited time that you have to deal as much damage as you can. Later the game introduces enemies react differently to different types of attacks, so you may, on some enemies you may want to use your sword mainly, on another you might want to use your lightning magic, on another ice magic, which is all different buttons. I think there was 4 different buttons for attacks when I played it. I think it was space, B, N, and M. There was gamepad controls, but they weren't very good. I don't think all actions were bound to the gamepad, and there was no options for that, so I just stuck with keyboard, even though...
I actually had that same issue with Shadows of Doubt. I forgot that my controller was plugged in, so it was giving me controller prompts, and some of the stuff you can't really do with the controller, so it was like, okay, I'm unplugging my controller, just show me the keyboard.
Yeah, it's... I mean, it's understandable if you... You're developing your PC game, you'll try to use your keyboard controls first of all, because not everyone will have a gamepad, yada yada. If you want to give the game to as many people as you can, you focus on your keyboard controls. A little off topic. So when your turn is over, it's the enemy's turn, and then you, using the same buttons that you had, you've been using to attack, you can defend. So there's also a thing where you want to use the right defensive button for the right kind of attacks. I think the enemies only had like a physical attack and a magic attack, so it was either holding your space or B. And if you, like, each of your guards had limited amounts of charges that they could block attacks with, and once you were out of charges, your guard would break and you needed time to recover. But if you used your guard at the right time, right when you were hit, you would do a perfect block and you wouldn't lose any charge. So that was basically the combat. Last thing I think the game introduced was if you use the right damage to damage. If you use the right ability to damage an enemy, then like a meter on them with the rays, and you would be able to absorb them to get a skill point, basically, and unlock something on a skill tree to improve your abilities. Yeah, that's pretty much it. I think the last thing that I was able to unlock on a skill tree was like a ranged bow attack. I didn't figure out why I would want to use a bow instead of a sword, I guess. Well, actually, I did unlock ability where after using my bow combo, I could quickly jump towards an enemy and transition into a sword. So I guess I could do a longer physical combo like that. So it was interesting, and I'm curious to see how big the skill tree they plan and how many things you'll be able to do with that.
Okay, well, the second and final game that I played was Troublemaker. I remembered adding this to my wish list because the trailer makes it look like a cross between Bully and Yakuza. You play Buddy, a guy who has to move schools, and in his new school, they have a system in place where the class that does best in this fighting tournament will get more support when they graduate until they get jobs. It's a vocational school, so they should have support anyway, but I'll be honest, I'm not entirely sure about that. The demo was just the prologue. It starts with a whole bunch of fights. You've got to fight one guy, then two guys, then two more guys, and then another guy twice. And then Buddy is told, yeah, we're moving and you're going to a new school. And then you're introduced to all of that stuff. Yeah, the fighting's fine. It's a light attack and heavy attack. There's also blocking. If you block at the right time, you'll counterattack. There's dodging. And there's special moves. The two moves that are automatically unlocked are you throw a chair at someone. The chair just appears in your hand and you throw it at someone. And the second one is called Sacred Gear, where you have the, you know, the bit in a pedal bike where the pedals attach?
Mm.
Yeah, he has that and he just hits people with it.
Okay.
And that's called Sacred Gear. The other one's literally just catch this chair.
Okay. Yeah, that's very Yakuza.
Yeah, you unlock more moves. There's one where he does a jump spin kick thing and his foot's like on fire. So it does appear to get quite over the top the further you go. As for the rest of it, you have to attend class, and in the prologue, you have to attend class, you have to go and get some lunch at the canteen as you're introduced to all these characters and including the guy who sells you special moves. And they hang a lampshade on that. They say, and this third option, I can sell you special moves, just like you're in a video game. But we're not in a video game.
Okay. Yeah.
It's definitely not taking itself too seriously.
I actually seen this when I was looking at Steam Next Fest, and my first thought was, it's Sifu, but it's more lighthearted, like less revenge. But yeah, I guess Yakuza is more accurate comparison.
Well, as you're in the when you're in the free roam parts and you're allowed to wander around the school, there are people and who want to fight you when they see you. You have a couple of seconds to like, oh no, they've spotted me. I'll get out of here before they run towards me. But as soon as they run towards you, you're going into a fight, and then it like loads into the fight section and then loads back into the free roam, which is something that happened in the early Yakuza games.
Mm-hmm. That also kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you've ever played Way of the Samurai games.
I did not.
Yeah, they're actually kind of similar to Yakuza too, except it's Samurai.
Ooh, 3 and 4 are on Steam. I'll have to look into those. Spike Chunsoft. Oh, I should have looked into these anyway. Steam database says the historic low for Way of the Samurai 4 is 189. I can stretch to that.
Those games are pretty junky, but they're like, yeah, they have that kind of a Yakuza thing where they're, on surface, they're serious, but like, they have silly things in them. Like, you might running around the city doing your errands, and if you bump into another samurai, he might get upset and start fighting you.
I'm looking at the screenshots, and there's someone, I can't tell if they're male or female, with a Hitler mustache, green hair, cat paws, stiletto red heels, and a negligee. Also a giant shuriken on their back. This looks like my kind of nonsense, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, there's a customization in this game that allows you to pick an item and attach it to a part of your body, so yeah, you can do some weird shit with that. And, like, you don't get any reaction from characters. So, yeah.
Of course not.
And there's a character called something Mega Melons, who's a knight from Europe. Mega Melons.
I'm strangely aroused. I mean, confused.
I think I read about that once, that it's kind of a joke when you translate a real name from English to Japanese and it somehow ends up being Mega Melons. I can't remember, but it's something like that.
Right, so we have about time for you to tell us about one more game. Pick a good one.
I guess I'm going to talk about Death or Treat. It's one of the games that I've actually been seeing on Twitter for a while. And ironically, that game is about social media. Although when you look at it, it seems to be about ghosts and ghouls and stuff like that. And one of the tags is also a Souls-like, even though it's not a Souls-like mechanically, but it's about ghosts, so you can call it a Souls-like. Yeah, when I was playing it, I started being convinced that it was made by one of Gangren writers who loves puns. She's probably the one who added the Souls-like tag to it. I'm just gonna blame everything on that writer related to this game.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, in the game you're controlling a little ghost called Scary, and
Scary.
I actually tried skipping through the story because I want to get this game when it comes out and like have everything be fresh. But I think the game is about taking down Facebook. Because the villain is called Mr. Fuckerberg with A, not you. I didn't swear, okay? You can't prove that.
There's no swearing on this podcast.
Yeah, and there's a character called Joe Bite Them, who's a vampire.
That one's subtle.
And next to like his house or like his business is a sign that says letter B, positive. Be positive. Like, be positive, but he's a vampire, so it might as well be about blood.
No, it's just a coincidence, I'm sure.
And there's a character called Jobs, who's a pumpkin head man, and he holds an iPhone. Yeah, that's all I have. I didn't get too deep into the game, but it is actually pretty relaxing to play it. It is very roguelike, like the stages are randomly generated. They have like certain commonalities between each run. But yeah, you'll try to get through the stage. It kind of reminded me of Rogue Legacy, actually, the stages and the gameplay loop. You'll be trying to get through the stages, you'll be fighting enemies, and you'll be getting like money and different crafting materials to like upgrade your little town, and you'll be upgrading the town by making new buildings, new businesses, and with new businesses, new characters will appear who will sell you items that will help you with subsequent runs through. Initially, the only weapon you have is a stick, and you have 3 special abilities to choose from for each run. And I assume as you upgrade your little settlement, you'll have more options. The basic gameplay is a little platforming, a little combat. It has, like, yeah, again, it feels pretty relaxing to play it. It's not super easy. Like, you need to figure out a rhythm to fight enemies. Like, they're large enemies with a slow attack that can, like, two-shot you and kill you. So you can't rush damaging that enemy, because you also have like a light and heavy attack to hit them with. So yeah, you need to time those attacks. And yeah, with those big slow enemies, you also have different ones, like smaller, faster ones, stuff like that. Flying bats with glowing eyes. And everything in the game looks super, super cute, like super endearing, at least to me. Like, the main character is like a stereotypical ghost with a tie. Yeah, he has like a confused expression all the time, and all the animation is really really great.
Well, definitely some games for you guys to check out. Even if you just look at the Steam pages, or I don't know if they're multi-platform games. And that about does it for this episode. So thank you for joining me, GozGoz.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening and subscribing to the Greencast. Your support means a lot. If you want to hear more from us, listen to our anime podcast, The Pals Anime Lounge. And of course, check out our writings on GameGrin.com. And until next time, game on.